Thank you, worship team. That was beautiful. Thank you, all of you who read out the scripture. Really appreciate that. All right, we're going to go ahead and take up our tithes and offering. And so if the ushers could come forward. Praise the Lord. What a good day. Did anyone pray over a roast as they left it in the oven and came to church? I did. I said, Jesus, watch over what I cannot. And let this beautiful leg of lamb be decent at 12:30. Okay, let's just thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you that we just now worship you through giving. Such an honor to be part of this family, the family of the redeemed, with you, Jesus, as the head, and somehow we get to be your body. What an honor. Thank you, Lord. Bless these gifts. Bless everyone who gives. Provide for those in need. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you are in Kingdom Kids, if you are 4 to 8 years old, you can line up. Don't run. Just walk to the back. Great job, kiddos. You're beautiful. It's going to be a good morning. Those little ones hung with us through a long worship service. Man, they're cute. Thank you, Kennedy, for serving down there. Okay, so I have an announcement. Tom and Louie are going home to South Africa. I know, like forever. Well, hopefully, maybe you'll come back for visiting. Maybe, right? And it's not that far. Just to hop across the big lake, the pond. Yes, yeah, so Tom and Louie, you've been in the States for 7 years now. Our big sadness over this is that you didn't find us sooner. Honestly, that's the grief over this. But they have families in South Africa. They're going back for a big reunion, starting new jobs there. And so we want to bless them. I would really, really love a couple men of God just surround them right now. And we're just going to take a minute and we want to bless there. We say you're blessed in coming in, but you're also blessed in your coming out. And so maybe Brian, Joseph, Lance, I don't know. Just if you have it on your heart, just come on over here right now. We're just going to, Louie, go ahead and stand up. And Tom, yeah, just squish on in there. Come in front of them and let's just pray over them. Let's lift, take your hand, stretch it towards Tom and Louie. We're thankful for these two men, Lord. We're grateful for their life and for their journey. We declare they are blessed, blessed in their coming in, blessed in their going out. We bless them as they step back into South Africa. We bless them in their family relationships, in their new jobs, in their ventures, in their businesses. We bless them, Father, in their church family that they're going to be a part of, God. I pray they would step into fruitfulness immediately, Lord. Jesus, guard over them, protect them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We love the nations here. We need a few more nations. We really do. You guys, start recruiting people from other nations. Do you know what it's going to be like in heaven? If you have any people group that you have a problem with, better get over it now. Tell you what, because Jesus is going to set you next to them for all eternity to worship. I tell you what, if you have a problem with somebody of certain color, certain ethnic group, if you had a problem with some certain country, get over it. Jesus loves all people, all nations. Your culture isn't better. It's just the one you're used to. Right? Amen. All right. Praise God. Next week, we got a treat. Every week we got a treat because we come together and we worship. But next week, Steve and Sally Wilson are going to be with us. Yeah, that's right. That's what I say. That's my son. So So Steve and Sally are on our board of directors of our church, but really more than that, they have been a father and mother to Jeff and I since we were 20 years old. That was a while ago. They've literally been in our life, our entire marriage and adult journey, and they're amazing missionaries, pastors. They're just awesome. And so we're really happy to receive them and have a minister next week and come ready to receive.
All right, thanks. All right, guys. Actually, I'm not even going to do anything probably that's on your notes today at all. I'm going to do a totally different passage of scripture. So hopefully you have Bible with you. If not, Bible app on your phone. But promise me you're not going to scroll Facebook and Instagram while I'm preaching. So if you're looking at your phone, I'm trusting it's a Bible app, okay? So why don't you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read the first 11 verses. I like, you know, Akaya and Abby doing the sprinting across the front today. That was fun. I liked it. Good job, y'all. Akaya, where's Akaya at? I'm looking. There she is. Akaya, you're so amazing. I just, all morning long, I just kept thinking about it. Like, Akaya is the kind of person that, like, I would be happy to take on missions trips. You know, because sometimes when you go on a missions trip, you want people who are going to be focused, they're going to be engaged, and, you know, you're going to war, you want somebody who's, you know, not going to be whatever. And she was just so focused. I love it, like, this morning, and even for prayer, you know, there's a few people here for pre-service prayer, but she just comes in, and right away, she's just engaging with the Lord and worshiping God and praising, and I'm just like, I could go to war with this girl. Like, this is, I love her so much. Praise God. So let's read Acts chapter 1. We're going to do the first 11 verses today. I'm just going to talk a little bit about it. So, Holy Spirit, help us. Amen. So this is a key passage of Scripture, because what we've read so far this morning is we've read about the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper in the upper room, and then Jesus is arrested, and then his trial, and then he's killed, and then he's buried, and then he rises from the dead, right? It's like, well, then what? Because that's not the end of the story. The story keeps on going. And we pick up with the rest of the story right here in Acts chapter 1. This is what happened after Jesus rose from the dead. Verse 1, it says, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. The one who's writing this book is a physician." He's actually a doctor who wrote the book of Acts, and his name is Luke. Any ideas? He wrote one other book in the Bible. Anybody have an idea? What do you think? Luke, you got it. All right, so he wrote the book of Luke. And he also wrote the book of Acts, and really, it's actually meant to be read as one volume. Luke is the testimony of Jesus from the time he was born to all the way through his life, and then he dies, and he's resurrected, and then Acts picks up the story from there, and it talks about after he's resurrected, and then he ascends up into heaven, and then the disciples, they go doing what he told them to do, go make disciples of all nations, and it records how the gospel just spreads like wildfire, and signs and wonders and miracles and the power of the Spirit, and it continues the story. So Luke is writing it to someone he calls Theophilus, which I think is interesting. The name Theophilus, it's a Greek name, and it means God lover or lover of God. Theo is God. And, you know, phileo is love. And so Theophilus, it actually means, "I'm writing to you, lover of God," which is interesting. It might be an actual person who was named Theophilus, or it might just be like a name that he just kind of generally put out there to say, "Hey, I'm writing to all you lovers of God." I don't really know for sure, but he says, "I told you in the first book, Luke, everything Jesus began to do." And then it says, verse 3, "During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. So for the first 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, after he suffered and died, then he was resurrected. And he appeared to him not just once or twice. He actually appeared to him off and on many times, it says, over a period of 40 days. And we read about some of those instances in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It records some of them, but I don't think it records all of them. And over a period of 40 days, he would show up and he would spend time with them in his resurrected body. And he would do things because he didn't want them to have any doubt that he was actually literally alive. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't like a vision. They weren't hallucinating. Okay, like he was physically really there. Like one time he wanted them to know, because they're having a conversation, these 12 disciples in a room, and they're going, "What in the world is going on? We keep hearing this stuff that Jesus is alive. People are saying that. What's going on?" And then boom, he just suddenly appears in the room with them. And they're freaking out. They're all terrified. They're like, "Ah," because they saw him die. He died. There was no doubt about it. He was buried. I mean, there was zero doubt. There were tons of eyewitnesses. And they're like freaking out. Like, he's here. And they think maybe he's a ghost or something like that. And he actually says this. He says, "Guys, I'm not a ghost." He says, "Go ahead, reach out, touch my hands so you can see that I have flesh and bones. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. Touch me. It's really me. I promise you." And he says, "Here, give me some fish." And he just eats a meal right in front of them. Because to show them, like, I'm not just a vision, I'm not just a ghost, I'm physically back, I'm alive. And he does this over and over again for 40 days in different ways. And you know what the main subject of conversation was over those? I mean, wouldn't you have loved to have been in those conversations? I mean, oh my goodness. You know, like the 40 days after he dies on the cross and is raised from the dead, he appears to you. What's the thing burning on his heart that he wants to talk about? Because he knows he's got 40 days and then he's ascending back up into heaven. And you know what he talks about? He talks about the kingdom of God. He talks about, "Guys, I'm going to be coming back again. And I'm going to rule the nations. All of them." And he just talks to them about that, answers their questions. He shows them stuff in the scriptures that prophesied about these things, that the Messiah first had to suffer and die, and then he would enter into his glory as king of the nations and restore all things. And he's talking to them about these things. And that's why this is the conversations they're having. And it makes sense why they say what they say right after this. In verse 4, it says, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Because he told them before, one of the marks, because all the Old Testament scriptures prophesied about a king, a Messiah who would come. And and he would rule Israel, rule the nations. He would lead the earth out of sin and into righteousness, justice, and peace. And they're looking for this king. But one of the distinguishing features that it said about Messiah is, here's one of the ways you'll recognize him. He will baptize all his followers with the Holy Spirit. All of them. This is how you'll know. And Jesus is looking at him. He's like, "Guys, like, I'm alive. You know I'm alive. This is awesome. Yeah, kingdom of God. We're all about it. We're talking about it. Yep, I know you're excited. You're going to go into all the world first. You got to go into all the nations. Every people group on the earth has to hear this good news that I died to forgive their sins." Why do you think they needed to hear that? Why do you think that was justice that they hear that? Okay, so here's the deal. The whole world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person, every people group on earth has rebelled against God. And because of that, they're going to go to the prison called hell, the lake of fire, forever and ever and ever. And when Jesus returns and he begins to physically rule on the earth, he judges the wicked, right? But the righteous, the ones he's made righteous, who've believed and turned from their sin and followed him, they've been made clean, they don't go to the prison. They don't have to go to hell. They get to live with him in his kingdom forever. Can you imagine how awesome it will be to live on this earth when there's no more sin and no more suffering anywhere? Like, travel anywhere you want. There'll be no sin, no suffering. There'll be no neighborhood. But like, don't go down that street after dark, because you could get mugged or something like that. Like, it's no, there's going to be no place like that in all the earth. All sin will be vanquished. It'll be gone. It won't exist on the planet anywhere. There'll be no more sickness, no more disease. There'll never be shutdowns because of plagues and pandemics, because there will be no sickness and no disease anymore. No sin, no suffering, no curse whatsoever. I mean, come on. I love the earth. I love living on this. I love living on this earth. I love trees. I love mountains. I even love the plains of South Dakota. I even sometimes, I even like, I'm not going to say wind, but like a nice gentle breeze. We'll call it that. The wind, I'm kind of getting a little tired of this. But like a gentle breeze when you're out in a field and like the wheat is ripe and you just see it sway. And that's beautiful. I love the oceans. I love the waves that come up. I love clean air, just fresh air. I love to hike. I love to play games. I love to run and jump. I love good food. I love to eat great food. I love good companions. I like family and friends that I feel comfortable with, and I can just be myself and enjoy them. Good, clean fun. And it's like, God's like, I know, because I created human beings for all this. And I'm not taking that. You're not, those of you who turn and follow me, you're going to get that. And you're going to enjoy those things forever. I forgot where I was going. I was on my way somewhere. And then I made a promise of the Father. Thank you. That's what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. This is why it has to get everywhere. They're wanting to go everywhere, right? He's like, first, though, before I return, he's like, it's like, yeah, this good news, salvation is available. Everybody in the world, all the people groups are condemned to die. But I've made a way where if they repent, they can have an alternate ending, a happy one. But you know what? If they don't know about it, if they don't have the opportunity to make that decision and leave the kingdom of darkness and instead enter the kingdom of light. Does that make sense? So it's like, so before I come and do all that stuff, first, it's your job. You have to go everywhere and tell everybody this good news so that they know there is another option available to them than the cup of wrath. I've made a cup of mercy that they can drink instead. Does that make sense? And so that, and so he's telling them about that. They're like, they want him to rule. They want him to reign. So do I, like now. But he's like, yeah, I know. I'm excited too. But first, everybody has to hear. Every people group on earth has to have the opportunity. And so they're like, okay, let's go. They're ready to go. And then he says, but first, you got to receive the Holy Spirit first. And that's what he says in verse 6. Says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? That's what they're talking to him about, because he keeps talking to him about the kingdom of God. They're like, let's do this right now. Like, go to, you're near right here in Jerusalem. It's like, just go and just begin, do some powerful things, get called, make the prayer where the legions of angels come and wipe out your enemies, and then go ahead and start reigning. Let's do this thing. And he's like, and he says, is it time now? And then he says to them, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. In other words, he's like, Jesus says, yes, I am going to rule as the King of Israel. I am going to rule the nations. I am going to restore the earth, but not yet. He says, first, there is a specific time and date. You know, my Father knows it when all that's going to happen. But first, here's what you need to be preoccupied with. He says, you need to receive the Holy Spirit and then go be my witnesses in all the earth. And he says that in verse 8. But you will receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. I knew this story pretty much my whole life. And then I remember the day when I decided to follow Jesus. Because just knowing the story isn't enough. You have to act on it. You have to respond by believing it, and then I'm going to repent and follow Jesus, right? So I remember I was 17 years old. I knew all about this story. I grew up knowing about this story. I mean, I'd go to Easter Sundays, I'd go to church and all this kind of stuff, right? And then I remember I realized, I'm like, man, I need to start actually living for Jesus. And I was 17 years old, and I was like, I was in a church service, and I really only went to the church service to see a girl, because there was a girl I liked, and that was kind of the way I could hang out with her that night. So we went to the church service. It was a Wednesday night. And while I'm at the service, I'm just having a good time, right? It was summertime between my junior and senior year. My team, my baseball team, which was the biggest thing in the world to me at that time, had just won a championship, which was like a dream come true. So I was so excited about that. It was a gorgeous southern sunny day in southern Alabama. And I remember I was wearing like an outfit that I felt really handsome in. You know how you had like the go-to outfits? And I was wearing one of those. Like I was feeling good, honestly, about myself. I was feeling really, I was the man, in my opinion, at that time. And I remember just feeling good. I'm walking in, I got a girl here, and I'm looking awesome. I'm a champion. My team just won the championship, so I'm cool. And I remember, like, I'm in a good mood, and they go through the whole service, which I'd been in these things before, so I know how they go. They sing their songs. The guy preaches his message, and I'm like, okay, yeah. And I'm just sitting there, and he's like, hey, if you want to follow Jesus, why don't you come up here, let's pray. And I didn't go forward, because I'm like, I don't need to do that. And then as I'm sitting in my chair, just waiting for them to like say the service is over so I could leave, it just kept going on and on and on and on. So I'm just like sitting there. But it was the best thing that could have ever happened, because what happens is as I'm sitting there, I start daydreaming. And my mind begins to wander, and I start reflecting on my life. And all of a sudden, the first thought I had was just different scenes flashed before in my mind of like in my life when I saw my hypocrisy and I saw how fake I was. Because I told you, I come in, I'm pretty awesome, right? But then all of a sudden, I'm seeing these scenes where I'm with my friends and they're drinking, and I'm like, I'm actually physically repulsed by the smell of beer. I mean, I hate the stuff. Like, literally, I have a gag reflex if I taste beer. I hate it. And I always have. I've always just hated it. But I remember, like, these scenes would flash in my mind when I was at a party, and they'd be like, hey, we got beer. And here's the deal. I was so fake. In my mind, I'm thinking, ugh. Like, I hate that. Like, give me a Coke or something. I hate beer. But you know what I did? Like, these scenes flash through my mind. They go, we got beer. And instead, I'm like fake. And I go, yeah, awesome, man. Why? Because I'm cool. And to be cool, you have to like beer. Especially if you're underage. I don't want people to think I'm a nerd. So I'm like, yeah, awesome. And so they bring me a can of beer. And in my mind, I'd be like, ugh. Eat this, you know what I mean? But I'd just be like, awesome. And I'd just take like a little sip and try to hide my face contorting. And instead, I was just like, yeah, awesome. And then I'd just kind of like hold the same can all night long so they wouldn't keep giving me more, because I hated it so much. But like, these scenes flash through my mind as I'm sitting there in that service, and I'm seeing how fake I am. And I'm like, dude, like, you act like you're all cool and like you got it together and you're like some cool leader, but you're not. You're just following everybody else. You're not authentic. You're just following the crowd. And when you're with a church crowd, you know how to say right things. And when you're with this crowd, you just go along with their things. But who are you? Who are you going to be? What kind of man are you going to be? Is that what you're going to do with your life? And I remember I just had this intense desire, like, I want to be real. I want to be authentic. I don't want to just follow a crowd. And then the next thought that popped into my mind was, if I were ever going to live for Jesus, I would go all the way with it. I'd be radical. And in my mind, I was thinking, like, I'd go to church even when my parents don't make me go. I'd go anyway. Like, ooh. Danger, danger, mate. Like, but in my mind, that was like, I'm going to be radical. I'm like, I would live a holy life. Even when my friends were doing stupid stuff, I wouldn't do it. I'd just not do it. I don't care what they think. And then I would tell other people about Jesus. Even though that's like, oh man, what are people going to think? And I was like, you know, if I were going to do it, I'd do it the right way. Like, either do it or don't. Like, what does it mean to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus? It means that you live like Jesus lived. Jesus didn't follow the crowd. Jesus was full of the Spirit, and he always did what his Father was telling him to do. I'm like, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? It means I'm going to seek the Lord. I am going to live a holy life. I mean, I'm going to obey him to the best of my ability. And I'm going to do what he told me to do. I'm going to tell other people about him and teach them to follow Jesus too. So I was just thinking, if I were going to do it, I'd do it. Like, for real. I don't want to play games. I've done that. And as I started contemplating how I would go about living for God if I ever made that decision, this intense desire for that just instantly gripped me on the inside. And I was like, and I had this epiphany. All of a sudden, I was like, that's what I was born for. Do you know what a gift it is at 17 years old to realize what your purpose is? God loved me. He's like, here, you're a young man. You're going to be a senior, and you have some plans mapped out for your future. But I'm telling you now, this is who you are. And this is what you were born for. And all of a sudden, I came alive to God. I was like, I'm in. Let's go. Let's do it. And I get up and I go walk down front where all the people are praying, right? And I pray my little prayer. I'm like, Jesus, you died on the cross to forgive my sins. You rose from the dead. I know that already. But now I'm in. I'm living for you. Let's do this. And I went back to my seat. And I'm just sitting in my seat. It was a short prayer. You know, that's all I knew. But I was for real about it. And then this dude comes up to me in my chair. He must have seen me go up there. He's like, hey, man. He's like, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was like, yeah, sounds good. I didn't even know what he is talking about, to be honest with you. But I knew enough to know. I knew the Holy Spirit was God. There was Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I knew that. So I knew it wasn't a bad thing. I just didn't know what he was talking about. But I'm like, yeah, Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm doing this Jesus thing, so that must mean I'm doing the Holy Spirit thing too, because they're kind of all together, right? And so he's like, yeah, come on with me. And so we walk back up to the front. I go with him up there, and I'm standing there, and there's like three, four, five people. They all kind of just surround me in a circle. I'm in the middle, and I don't really know what's going to happen. And the preacher's in front of me, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. He says, you want to receive the Holy Spirit? I'm like, yeah. I don't know what he's talked about, but yeah. And he's like, okay, sounds good. And I had this huge wad of gum in my mouth. I mean, big. And I'm just chewing my gum. And I'm standing there, and they all start praying for me. And I'm just standing there, and I kind of don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm like, okay, I'm receiving the Holy Spirit. I mean, what do you do? You know what I'm saying? I'm just standing there, and they're praying, but I'm like, yeah, okay, what do you do? But I'm standing there, and after a few minutes, they just keep praying. After a few minutes, it dawns on me. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, no. I'm like, I think they want me to pray in other tongues. I'm like, I knew that. I'd heard about that in the Bible. I mean, I hadn't been around it very much, but I'd heard about it, right? And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, I cannot do that. And I was like panicking inside. I'm calm outside, but inside I'm like, oh man, I'm trapped. Like they're all around me. There's no getting out of this without speaking in tongues. And it's not like I had this theological issue with it. I mean, I'm about like 4 minutes old in Jesus at this point. So it wasn't even that. I knew it was something in the Bible. My issue was like, I don't know how to do that, and I'm not going to fake it. Because remember, I got this thing that's just like, I'm going to be real. And I'm just sitting there, and they keep praying. And then I'm just like, yeah, God, fill me with the Spirit. I mean, you just pray the same thing over and over because I don't know what to do. And I just keep saying that. And then finally, the preacher looks at me, and he goes, don't say another word in English. I'm going, okay. Which means I'm not talking because I'm out of languages. That's it. So I'm just sitting there. I'm receiving the Holy Spirit, except I'm not talking. And I'm just sitting there quiet. And then he goes, because I'm chomping out. And he goes, he holds his hand in front of me, my mouth. And he goes, spit your gum into my hand. I was going, I actually did it. He told me to. I cannot believe that. I mean, I spit my gum in. I don't even know what he did with it, but hopefully he wasn't eating it. No, I'm joking. Be like Elf. Anyway. He goes, spit your gum into my hand. And so I do. And then I'm just sitting there. But then after a few minutes, they just keep praying for me. But then for the first time in my life, very subtly at first, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't overpowering. It wasn't dramatic initially. It was very subtle. But all of a sudden, I became aware. I just felt this presence. And it felt great. I mean, it felt like love with power on it. I mean, I just felt love, and I felt happy, and I felt peace, and it's just all of that wrapped in with power and energy on it, deep, deep inside of me, and I was just like, oh, man, and then I just began to, like, feel these syllables begin to rise up, but I was unsure. I'm like, is it me? How do you speak in tongues? You know, I don't know. I don't want to fake it. So really quietly at first, like, almost under my breath, I was just kind of like, whatever I said, whatever syllables it was at the time, because I was just uncertain. And then the preacher heard it, and he's like, that's the Holy Spirit. Just keep doing that. And then I was like, oh, good. That bolstered my faith, because I'm like, I didn't know if it was the Holy Spirit, if it was me. I've never done it before. But I'm like, oh, that's what you're talking, that's the Holy Spirit? I'm like, okay. So I just kept speaking more and more and more, and then louder and louder, because I got more confident. And the bolder and the longer I kept praying in those tongues and speaking those syllables out, the more intense I felt the presence of God deep inside of me. I felt love and power. I was so happy. I was overpowered at that point. It got to the point where I was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea you were like this, Jesus. Like, you're so real. You're so alive. I'd been in church my whole life, off and on. I've been in church my whole life, but never felt the power of God. I never felt the Holy Spirit. So I'm just like, okay, yeah, you go. These people do their religion. But I'm like, no, 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 no. You're real. You're alive. You're here for real. Like this Holy, because I always wondered, how do you even know if the Holy Spirit lives in you? But I'm like, oh, I know. When he came, I was like, I know. I mean, like some great theologian could have come up to my little peewee 10-minute old in Jesus uneducated mind and been like, I'm going to tell you why you're not really saved. And I'd be like, listen, I can't answer all your arguments, but I can tell you this, like, he loves me. Like, I feel so loved. I feel so forgiven. I feel so embraced and celebrated by him. I'm like, I told him, I'm like, I want to feel close to you like this every moment for the rest of my life. I never want to leave you. I never want to go away from you ever. And I want to please you. I want to make you a proud papa. Every follower of Jesus receives that gift. is for all of you. If you're willing to repent and believe the good news and follow Jesus, he says, good, I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So he tells them, you guys, you believe, you're seeing me and all this stuff, but in just a few days, that's going to happen to you. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and then it's on. Be my witnesses into all the nations. Now, I want to say something about this, and then we'll pray. Every one of you, well, I'll just start with this. I was talking to a friend yesterday. I've known him for 26 years as of Friday. Good Friday, 2 days ago. 26 years ago on Good Friday, I met this man. He was a teenager, probably like 19 years old, something like that. Just out of, done with high school. And it was a great day. Good Friday 26 years ago was an amazing day. You want to know why? Because I proposed to my wife. In the afternoon, this is a great idea. Any of you guys can use this, okay? I had bought the ring, and I'm going to propose, right? And so I buy her a Bible. We still have it. And it's a couple's, married couple's devotional Bible. So I get her a Bible with a fake leather cover, but it looked cool when it was new. I didn't have a lot of money, but and I had it engraved, Jeff and Autumn Mann, on the front. And then it had the tassel that's like the bookmark, and I tied the ring to the end of the tassel, and I put it in Proverbs chapter 31, which speaks of the virtuous, godly, virtuous woman and capable wife, which I'd always talk to her like that. That's how she is. And so then I took her to a park that afternoon, Good Friday. It didn't dawn on me that we got engaged on Good Friday until like maybe a year or two ago. Like, I don't know why. It just didn't click. It was just like a Friday. I just remember I got engaged, but it was Good Friday, which is extra cool. And so I take her to a park and I said, I got a gift, and I hand her the Bible. And she looks at it, and then she opens it up, and there's the ring. I was like, why don't you read Proverbs 31? And she opens it up, and there it is, and then the ring's there. And I get down on my knee. I'm like, will you marry me? And she says, yes. And woo-hoo! It's the best. I'm so happy about that. And so you know what we do? Like this afternoon, I'm like, well, and so we're like, let's go to Barnes & Noble tonight, and let's get a coffee, and let's look at bridal magazines and start planning our wedding. So I'm like, yeah, I can't think of anything more fun to do than that. So we're hanging out, like literally, you know, when you're getting married, it's like, I'm a guy, but I'm like, yeah, let's plan our wedding, man. I'll look at wedding dresses with you. I don't care. I just want to think about this. And so we go there and we're having a good time. And then I go into the religious book section. And of course, in Barnes & Noble, they got the Christian books, but then they got like the New Age books, the Buddhist books, the Hindu books, the Muslim books, all the religious books are all in the same section, right? And so I go there and I see this guy, this hippie looking dude. He's got long hair and he's sitting there reading this New Age book that he had gotten off the shelf. And I go up to him and I'm like, dude, what are you reading, man? And he's like, oh, it's this awesome book. And he just begins to tell me about it, and he's all excited about it because he's into it. He's kind of into that New Age stuff. And, you know, he's smoking pot. I mean, the whole thing. He was that. Living like on his friend's couch kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, just listening to him. We're talking religion. And then I said, dude, yeah, I follow Jesus, man. And I just began to tell him about Jesus. And I'm like, hey, like 2 days from now, I'm going to church. It's Resurrection Sunday. You want to come with me? He's like, and to my surprise, he says yes. He's like, yeah, let's go. I'm a stranger. I just met him. But we just clicked. And he's like, yeah, let's go. And I said, okay, I'll pick you up Sunday morning. So I do. I pick him up Sunday morning, and he's actually ready for me. And he gets in my car and with my fiance and me, and we drive to church. And we get there. The guy preaches his message, because I wasn't preaching. It was somebody else. I just attended. And the guy preaches his message. And he's like, if you want to follow Jesus, come up here and let's pray. And Thomas, my friend, stands up and he walks to the front. And I'm going, oh, I'm so pumped. My wife and I both were like, yeah, go God. That's so good. You know, we're like all pumped up. And they give him a Bible, and he's just, he gets radically saved. He's like excited about, like, he's like, all the way, I want to follow Jesus, like with all my heart. And anyway, and then we were with him for a few more weeks. And then, you know, our college semester ended, and we had to go back home for a summer to South Dakota. This was in Missouri where we lived. And so we didn't see him for like a summer, you know, because we were gone. We get married and we come back, and then he's homeless when we get back. And but he's still wanting to follow Jesus, but he's just trying to figure it out by himself. And so we're like, why don't you come live with us? And he came, and like, we were newlyweds with this guy living with us. And he's living in a spare bedroom for a long, like 5-6 months, a long time. And we help him get a job, and we help him like just kind of get his life going. But he's so hungry for the Word of God. He's just asking me questions and like all my books about the Bible. He's like wants to read them and ask him. He was so hungry. And so we do that. 5 or 6 months later, you know, he moves out and he moves back to his hometown. But as soon as he gets back there, he gets immediately planted in a really good church and he gets discipled. And then like a couple years later, he calls me up and he's like a totally different dude. He calls me up and he's like, Jeff, he's like, I've been out with my pastor, man. We just go door to door and we just pray. We just tell people about Jesus. He's like, I want to win souls, man. It's like, I changed my life. I want people to know Jesus. And I'm like, I love this man. I'm like, go, God. I'm like, dude, I know what you're talking about. That's what happened to me. That's why I talk to you. And you know, he's a pastor now. I talk to him every week on Saturdays. We've been doing this for a couple months now, and we're just studying the Bibles. We're working our way through the biblical storyline together, just studying the Word together. And he's just on fire for God, man. He wants to win souls. 26 years later, he's married to a godly wife. They're serving the Lord. It's going to be this summer, he's going to be preaching at camps and things like this. And I'm like, that's so cool. Now, here's what I want to say. Every one of you who know Jesus that's in this room right now, I want you to just think this through with me, okay? There was a person who told you for the first time about Jesus. There was a time when you heard for the first time, and it was a person who told you. And for that person, there was a first time that they heard about Jesus and somebody told them. And every one of us, we have a line. And if you track the line, the first person that told them about Jesus so that they could get saved, the line goes unbroken through 2,000 years and it ends at Jesus. Jesus told us the good news and he told it to the 12, and then they went out and told it to others who told it to others. And eventually one of those lines, it got to you. So think about that. You're the end of a 2,000-year line of faithful people who took his command seriously to tell others this good news, and you've benefited from that. So now the responsibility comes to you, and this is my thing. When I think about this, I'm like, God, I don't want to be the end of my line. I don't want to be the dead end. I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, this line that was going 2,000 years and it got to Jeff, and that was it. He just took the message, but he didn't pass it on to anybody. And I want to encourage you and challenge you. Say, God, I will not be a dead end. I will not be a dead end. Help me, Lord. And some of many of you have had the privilege of leading somebody else to Jesus. Others of you have not had that yet, but I promise you, it is the will of God for you to lead somebody to Jesus, for you to be able to baptize them, for you to pray with them when they receive the Holy Spirit for the first time, for you to help teach them how to follow Jesus. God has that plan for your life, every single one of you, if you're a follower of Jesus. And I just want this. We live in a church environment in America that is so unhealthy that it's actually abnormal for a Christian in America to tell people about Jesus and lead somebody to the Lord. But it's not that way. It's not that way in the church in many parts of the world that's healthy. And because, though, it feels normal to us to be barren and fruitless, right? It's just normal. It's like, oh, most of the other people sitting next to me on Sunday mornings are don't really tell people about Jesus. So, You know, I can blend in. I don't feel that guilty, except when Jeff talks about stuff like this. But I'm okay most of the time. But I want to talk about it because I don't want you to be okay. Because Jesus is not okay. And here's the thing, what I know, you'll stand before the Lord and you won't be okay then. And I'm telling you, it's like, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. It's like, dude, do you think that he can't teach you? You have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit in you that was anointing Jesus to speak the words he spoke and do the things he did. You have the same exact Holy Spirit living in you. You can do this. And what happens is if we get desperate enough, I'm not going to be a dead end. I'm not going to be a dead end. And you get desperate and you begin to seek the Lord. Say, God, help me to lead people to Jesus. I remember, I read this story yesterday about the church in China. Church in China, they had this 1 month of the year where they just, several years, they did this. 1 month of the year, it's like this church leader, they had like a house church networks of like thousands and thousands and thousands of believers in it. And this was, they're living in a place where they're going to prison and being tortured and persecuted for talking about Jesus. And this is what they say. They take a month out of the year, and this for that month, they're like, everybody in the church has to lead three people to Jesus this month. And if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, you have to lead five. Every single person. And you know what? They just accept it, and they do it. And over the course of just a few years, they led like hundreds of thousands of people got saved and were added to the church. Why? Because normal believers with the Holy Spirit were just testifying about Jesus, and God worked with them. And if something happens when we get desperate and say, my goal is not to blend in with an unhealthy American Christian. My goal is to look like the book of Acts. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And when we get desperate, we'll begin to seek the Lord. We'll begin to fast. I remember, you know, 10-ish years ago, I had this intense burden to win souls. I'm like, I got to lead somebody to Jesus this month. I was like in pain almost inside over it. And I'm like, I can't live as usual this month. And I remember I made this commitment to the Lord. I'm like, I'm going to fast this month, every other day this month. I'm going to fast food. And I'm going to go out five times a week and just share the gospel with people all over my city. And my goal is, that's my act of faith. I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to go do it. And I'm like, God, let me lead one person to Jesus. And I was just gripped. I was desperate. And I would just cry out, God, lead me to the people who want you. Help me to lead them to Jesus. And I went the whole month. And what ended up coming out of it is I met a Korean man in our city. I went and knocked on his door. I was just going door to door. He answered the door. And he's like, oh, good. And he had like a sick nephew. And I prayed for them for healing. And then he says, this is awesome. He says, he just arrived here from Thailand. And he says, when I was in Thailand, I used to do what you're doing. We'd go to villages and pray for people and share the gospel. He goes, I want to go with you. I said, awesome. That sounds good. Anyway, what ended up happening a little bit after that, he comes to me and he says, we have these people like that live in my apartment and other people, the Korean people, and they all want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and they want to practice spiritual gifts. He says, but we don't know what to do. And I said, here's what you should do. I was like, just meet in somebody's home and all of you just begin to worship and pray together. And then when you feel the Spirit moving, just share what God puts on your heart and just go for it. He's like, okay, we'll do it. So he gathered them and he started meeting. A month later, I talked to him and I was like, hey, how's that thing going? Are you doing that? And he goes, yeah. He says, I said, how many people are coming? He says, there's 40 of us now. I'm going, 40? Like, you got 40 people meeting in somebody's house, just encountering God and getting filled with the Spirit? He's like, yes. And it ended up turning into a church. It's here in town today. They got a super long, like, Korean Christian Revival something. It's like, it's really long title. I don't remember all the words. But he's one of my good friends, Emushi. You know where that came out of? I got desperate inside. Like, the Spirit's like, I have something. I want to birth not just one person. I want to birth a church that's going to be a soul-winning church among the Korean community. You don't even speak their language, but I'm going to raise up a spirit-filled church that is going to speak their language. And he didn't tell me all that. I just felt this burden, like, I've got to lead somebody to the Lord. And I just went hard after it. The only way I knew how, I was like, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm just going to go, 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 go. And that's what he did. And I'm like, wow, God. And I remember Winter and I, a few years after that, we were out knocking on doors in an apartment complex in the city, sharing Jesus with people. And she saw all, there was a really sick, like one of the Korean apartments, there was somebody who was really, really sick, just laying there sick. And but we hardly spoke their language. And then all of a sudden, she sees like this group of young people, all Korean, with a guitar. And they all just come and they're all happy and they just all walk into their apartment. And they're singing worship songs and praying for her to be healed and ministering to her. And we're like, that's so cool. They speak the language. You know what we found out after that? They were from Emushi's church. So cool. Here's the point, guys. Don't be the dead end. And if you get desperate enough and you begin to cry out to the Lord will make you fruitful. And I'm going to end with this in verses 9 through 11. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. And then he says, after this, he was taken up into a cloud. This is what happened. These are the facts. While they were watching, that's pretty cool, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? That's a kind of a silly question. I probably wouldn't have said this because I would have been in awe and the fear of God would have been all over me. But now reading it, I'm like, isn't it obvious? I mean, anyway. And then it says, why? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. Listen, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. They saw him lifted up in a cloud. And the Bible says that he's going to come back from heaven to the earth on the clouds of heaven. And he's going to have an entourage. All the angels of heaven will be coming. Why don't you guys stand with me? And not only all the angels of heaven, all the believers who believed the message and followed Jesus and received the Spirit and then died, and they go to be with him in heaven, when he comes back to the earth, guess who's coming with him? All of them. Because when he returns, he's coming to the city of Jerusalem to begin to be coronated, to be crowned king, and to begin to rule Israel and the nations from the city of Jerusalem. And when he comes, all those who have died and gone before him will come with him. But you know what the Bible says? When he comes, those of his followers who are on the earth when he comes, the way they saw him go up, we're going to see him come down. And the Bible actually says every eye will see, not just believers. Like even those who are in rebellion against him, they'll see him, but they'll mourn because they know judgment day for us. But we'll look up and we'll see him with the angels, with the entourage, riding on the clouds of heaven, and he's coming. And the Bible says we will be actually lifted off the ground physically and we'll be caught up into the air to meet him. And as we ascend to join the procession, our bodies, like in the blink of an eye, will be transformed from mortal bodies to immortal bodies. They'll still be physical, but you can't die. And we will join the procession and actually escort him into the city of Jerusalem, the ultimate triumphal entry. Oh, come on. So here's the deal, guys. These are the facts of the story. This is the truth about what God is doing in the earth and what he's done. Do you believe it or you don't? That's the first question. And then if you do, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to stay in your rebellion? Well, you know the end of that. Or are you like, I don't have to stay in the rebellion. He died to get me out of it. I'm getting out. I'm done with it. I'm not just going to follow the crowd and follow my friends and follow the media. I'm going to follow Jesus. And instead of just like being addicted to media, I'm going to open my Bible and find out who Jesus is and what he's like. I'm going to know the story and I'm going to be like him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to follow his example and I'm going to lead other people to the Lord. And then when he comes, you'll be one of those ones who are with him. You guys with me? But this is your choice, and the choice you make matters. So my question to you is, who wants to follow Jesus? I'm in. I'm so in. I'm in more than I've ever felt like. I mean, I'm so in, and I'm happy to be in. But I'll just be honest with you. It won't always be easy before he returns, because you're going to serve him. There'll be people who will reject you. You'll lose friendships. You may lose relationships with family members who may, not because you're turning on them, but because they're rejecting you. They're like, hey, if you're going to be like that, we don't want to be around you anymore. That's a real thing. That happens. And Jesus is honest with his followers. He's like, guys, I'm telling you, this is the way it will happen. For many of you, this is going to happen. Some of you will lose jobs. You'll lose promotion opportunities because you don't go along with the company line. Instead, you obey what Jesus said. But we know the end of the story. It's like, dude, take my job. You're not my provider anyway. God's my provider. I'm going to obey Jesus. At the end of the day, when he comes, I'm getting my reward. I'm not throwing that away so I could have this little job. Are you kidding me? It's not that good of a job. I want to invite you. Some of you young people, you're at school. Hardly anybody's doing this around you. They're making bad jokes. They're talking about crazy stuff that you know is wrong. And it's so tempting to just go along with it. But listen, Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He's like, I know it's hard. He's like, but if you'll follow me, I'll give you the Holy Spirit and I'll give you courage beyond anything you've ever experienced in your life. I'm calling you out of the crowd and into my family. That's what he's saying to you. Out of the crowd and into my family. If you want to follow Jesus, let's do this. Now's the time. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to pray with you right now. But first, I'm going to give you my email address. So I want you to write it down. And here's why. Because if you're wanting to start following Jesus, I want you to just send me, it doesn't have to be a long email, just send me a couple lines. Say, Jeff, I want to follow Jesus. Send me an email, and what I'll do is this week, I'll respond to you before the end of the week, and we'll get together, and we'll set a time to get together, and I'll help you. I'll help you get started. Because when I first started, I'm like, what do I do now? I'm all excited. But I had godly men who had been doing this for a little bit take me under their wing and say, here, I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to live for God. I'm going to teach you how to read the word. I mean, they just taught me how to live for Jesus, and it helped me so much. And I want to help you in the same way. And so my email address is man, M-A-N-N, two N's, kind of extra manly. At jamesriverchurch.com. Man, M-A-N-N, at jamesriverchurch.com. Please don't send me spam. I thought about giving out my phone number, and I thought, no, that's too risky. But I'll give you my email. So, but what I want you to do is, if you want to follow Jesus, send me an email today, and I'll get back to you this week, okay? And I'll help you. Just get started in following Jesus, okay? So let's pray right now. Actually, if you're in right now and you're just saying, I'm doing this, like I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm stepping over it out of darkness into his family. I'm a follower of Jesus now. I'm going public. No matter what, I'm in. And if that's you right now, I just want you to, you're making that decision like today. I want you to just boldly, not ashamedly, but boldly. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to be proud of. I want you to hold your hand just high up in the air and just keep it up in the air. Awesome. Jesus, I am yours. I'm in. And I want everybody, you can open your eyes. Keep your hands up, though. Those of you who have your hands up, keep them up. I want everybody to open your eyes. And I want you to look around. And I just want you, like, some those of you who know the Lord, and you see girls, if you see another lady with her hand up, I want you to go get around them. I want you to pray with them right now to give their lives to Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit. And if the guys, if you see a guy with his hand up, I just want you to go gather around them, and I want you to pray with them right now to give their life to Jesus and just to receive the Holy Spirit right now. So yeah, just keep your hands up. I'm so proud of y'all. Yeah. So yeah, look around. Guys, if you're a believer, don't let any guy with a hand up be by themselves right now. They should have two or three men around them. Don't be, or teenagers around them, but don't, this is your opportunity, guys. Go get some fruit. Ladies. Yeah, just pray with them. You don't even have to pay attention to me if you're praying right now. Father, we just say, come right now, Holy Spirit. We give you our lives. Jesus, we're in. We're in. We're in. We're following you. We're stepping out of the crowd and into your family. We belong to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings. He will rule the nations. And we submit our lives to him to serve him right now. And we look forward to your return, Jesus. We look forward to your return, and we receive the gift you promised of the Holy Spirit even now. Yeah, those of you, that I feel like there's maybe someone who's like, oh, I wish I would have raised my hand. I wish I would have raised my hand. Just raise it now. It's not too late. Just hold, if you're like, I'm in, I'm out of the crowd and into his family, I want to follow Jesus, just do it right now. It's not too late. Just boldly put your hand up. Be proud of him. Be proud of him. And we're just going to gather around you and pray for you too. Winter's on the front row over here. She got saved at the end of a service. Like, the service was pretty much over. And I walked up to her and I asked her, I said, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven or hell? And she just said, I'd go to hell. I'm like, do you want to follow Jesus? And she's like, yes. And we prayed. And right then, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And what do you think? That moment changed her life. That moment, she's never been the same since that moment when she said yes and got filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, it changed her life. What if I would have just not gone over and asked her that? I just want to encourage you guys, it's not too late. Right now, she was in high school at that point. She was just a teenager. And she got bold, and God changed her life. She got on fire for God. More, Lord. Now, we're not going to rush this. I know it's like Easter dinners, but honestly, Easter is about more than dinner. This is what Easter is about. It's about Jesus. It's about people getting saved. So we just want to pray. You're just praying with people. Just give them space as you're praying, just to receive from the Holy Spirit. And those of you who are receiving the Holy Spirit, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to perform. You don't have to jump through hoops. You know, you don't even have to spit out your gum. That honestly didn't matter at all. You don't feel like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. You don't have to do it. Just say, yeah, Lord, I'm in. I receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And then just enjoy his presence. Just let his presence just minister to you. And if you feel like speaking in tongues, speak in tongues. If you feel like just praying, then just pray. If you start weeping, just weep. If you feel happy and you just start laughing, just laugh. If you don't do any of that, don't do any of that. It doesn't matter. Just let the Holy Spirit touch you. He loves you. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. I just encourage you, you know, those of you who are just new believers, you're praying with them, like, take them under your wing. Take them under your wing and say, hey, let's meet up this week, and I'll teach you how to start reading the Bible. I'll teach you how to help get started. Sola Maria de la 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 la. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to pray for one more thing. Those of you, you love Jesus, you're a believer, and you're just like, I want to lead somebody to Jesus. I really want to lead somebody to Jesus, like, this year. I just want you to just hold up your hands to the Lord and just talk to him about that in your own words. Just begin to talk to him about that. Lord, I just bless every one of us, including me. My hand is up. God, I want to lead tons of people to Jesus this year. I don't want just one person coming out for me. I want an army who's serving the Lord. Father, I pray every one of us that you would right now, that you would make us fruitful this year, that we would be fruitful and multiply disciples of Jesus. I ask you for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, that you would make us so desperate, Lord, that we would be willing to do whatever it takes, that we'd step out of our comfort zone and actually talk to people about Jesus, share our testimony, tell people what Jesus has done for us, and that you would help us, that you would help us, that this year, that we would not be like the barren woman who's mourning, but we would be like the woman who's had children, who's rejoicing. And I pray that even by the end of the year, that you would do that in us, Lord, that we would be like the mother who is no longer barren, but God, that we have led people to the Lord. We are discipling people, and we are sharing in your joy in this way. And I just pray for that right now. I just pray for healing from spiritual barrenness. Right now, we've seen this so many times, this miracle, where we've prayed for physically tons of different women who could not have children. And then they ended up getting healed and had a bunch of children. I mean, that's happened so many times. I could tell you a ton of stories. I've seen this. We've done this. And I'm gonna pray now for spiritual barrenness to be healed. So, Father, I pray right now. I pray that spiritual barrenness would be healed now. I just declare it ends now. And I bless you in the name of Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you are fruitful, that your testimony and your life witness is anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to bear fruit. And I just declare in Jesus' name that the anointing would be so strong on you of Christ that actually that God would send seekers to you, that they would come to you and they would ask you about the Lord, and that God would use you to lead them to Christ. So, Father, I just declare a breakthrough right now. No more spiritual barrenness. I bless you in the Spirit with that fertility in the Spirit to lead many to the Lord. And we just declare that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you and let you keep praying, or let you go if you got to go. But I want to encourage you, those of you who are like, I'm in, I want to follow Jesus, send me an email, man@jamesriverchurch.com, and just say, I want to do this thing. And you may have somebody that prayed with you that's already reaching out to you, and that's great. But if not, I'll reach out to you and I'll help you get going. So Lord, I thank you for your victory. You came, you died, you rose again, you ascended to heaven, and you're coming back. And you are our God, and we are your people, and you will live among us forever. And we say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, because with your blood, Jesus, you purchased us for God, and you've made us kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Have a great day. Love you guys.